This is going to be a very short and sweet message. We're going to look at three stories, and in comparing those stories, we'll find something very common with those stories. So our first story will be from the book of John chapter 2 from verses 1 to 11. I must warn you, I like scriptures a lot. So please bear with me. I like scriptures a lot. I make references to plenty of scriptures. John 2 from verses 1 to 11. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Standing by were six stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it came from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Next story is in Luke 17 from 11 to 19. As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." And the last story, 2 Kings 4 from verse 1 to 7. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband, who served you, is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my 2 sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." For want of title, I have called this From Water to Wine. From Water to Wine. So, in the first story, here's the setting: a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Here's the problem: the wedding party runs out of wine, which will have been a social embarrassment. And here was a miracle. Jesus turned water, or he transformed water into wine. Now, key highlights from that story. Jesus meets a practical need in an abundant and joyous manner. The ordinary water was turned into something extraordinary, which represents more like a spiritual transformation. Mary instructs the servants to obey Jesus, demonstrating faith that leads to a miracle. And then that miracle marks the beginning of the ministry, or the public ministry of Jesus, and he reveals his glory to his disciples. The second story, here's the setting. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and passing through the village or between the borders of Galilee and Samaria. Here's the problem. There were 10 men suffering from leprosy, crying out to Jesus for mercy. The miracle, Jesus heals them when he tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Highlights from this. The lepers obey the command of Jesus to go show themselves to the priest, which resulted into their healing. Only one of 10 came back to thank Jesus, which shows or highlighted the importance of gratitude. The healing of the Samaritan emphasizes that Jesus's compassion is to all, including those who had been marginalized. And Jesus not only heals physically, but acknowledges the thankfulness of that leper, which indicates a deeper spiritual healing, resulting into what is known as wholeness. Your faith has made you whole. Story three. Here is the setting. In the time of the prophets, the problem, the widow, whose husband was a prophet, was in debt and was at risk of losing her sons to slavery as a form of payment. This was the miracle. Elisha multiplies the widow's small amount of oil so she could sell it, pay her debts, and live off what was left over. The highlights of that: God, through Elisha, provides for the widow, he provides for the widow's immediate and future needs. The widow follows Elisha's instructions to borrow vessels and pour oil, showing her faith in what the man of God has said. And that miracle reflects God's concern and care for the vulnerable, widows and orphans. And God's provision is not just sufficient, but it is abundant, ensuring the widow's security. In comparing these three stories and the highlights, two things are common. One, faith and obedience. There was a desperation. I'll come to that. First off, faith and obedience. The second, transformation and renewal. Why would Jesus's mother, when wine had finished, will go to him and tell him, the wine is finished? He tells her, my time has not come yet. And she still went ahead and said, do whatever he tells you to do. There must be a reason for that. She had that faith, that level of faith. And she knew this is someone. Look, Jesus had not begun his public ministry. Not yet. But Mary knew that with faith and obedience, there will be a transformation. Hence, she said, do whatever he tells you to do. In the second story, why would the lepers be screaming, Jesus, have mercy on me? If not that they had heard about him. Perhaps they were believers. Perhaps. But then they saw him from afar, or they knew he was coming. And when they saw him, they began to scream at the top of their voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Knowing fully well, by faith, I believe that if he said something and they did it, there will be a transformation. Yes, think about that. The third one, the lady, the widow, whose husband served with Elisha. Of course, she knew the type of person Elisha was. What he had done, what he could do. Hence, she went to him. By faith, believing that whatever he tells her to do, and she did, will cause a transformation. So, the servants obeyed Jesus, which led to that miracle. The lepers' obedience to Jesus' command resulted into their healing. The widow followed Elisha's instructions, which resulted in the multiplication of oil. And the transformation, water transformed into wine, symbolizing a spiritual renewal. The physical healing of the lepers symbolizes a spiritual cleansing and renewal. The widow, the financial provision of the widow transformed the widow's dire situation into one of stability. So, faith and obedience will cause a transformation and a renewal. Like I said, this is a very short message, but something for us to ponder on about. There are numerous outcomes of having faith and being obedient to God and his commandments. We're going to look at a few of them. And like I said, I like scriptures, so I'm backing what I'm saying with scripture. So please be attentive. So, one of the outcomes of having faith and being obedient to God's commandments and instructions is blessings and prosperity. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1 to 2, it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord God, your God, will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Psalms 1, verse 1 to 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted by the river along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. The leaves never wither, and they do prosper, and they prosper in all they do. Second outcome, divine protection and guidance. Proverbs 3 from verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. Proverbs 16 verse 3 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Psalm 91 from verse 14 to 16. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. In Isaiah 58, verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. So, blessings and prosperity, divine protection and guidance. The third outcome of having faith and being obedient to the things of God and His commandments, you have peace and joy. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, it says, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. John 15, 10 to 11. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy, with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Number four outcome, spiritual growth and maturity. James 1, verse 2 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last but not the least outcome of having faith and being obedient to the things of God, eternal rewards. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Revelation 22, verse 12, it says, look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. And finally, James 1, verse 12, it says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So, faith, as the Bible says, is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible tells us, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So if you have faith and you're obedient to the things of God, there's a guarantee that there'll be a transformation and there'll be a renewal. And of course, your water will be turned to wine. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for highlighting the importance of hearing your word. Lord, we thank you for your wondrous miracles. We thank you for the reminder of your transformative power through even that miracle in Cana. Just as Jesus turned water into wine, Lord, we ask that you transform our lives and our hearts. We ask that you fill us, Lord, with joy and abundance. Lord, that you turn everyday moments, Lord, into celebrations of your grace. Father, help us to trust in your timing, in your provision, knowing fully well that you always save the best for us. I will pray that our faith is strengthened even as we witness the things that you've done and the things that you do, Lord. No matter how great, no matter how small, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your faithfulness. Lord, we ask that you strengthen our resolve, that no matter, even if we haven't seen it yet, we believe. Father, we thank you. And we bless your name, O God. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.